Good evening, and welcome to Mondo Eros. My name is Stephen Otero, and I'm your host for tonight's broadcast. This is our fourth session here on the new adult channel here on bbsradio.com. And we have a very special guest tonight who is, I will also say, is a very special friend of mine. And I think you'll find him quite interesting. We're going to talk about some very interesting topics tonight. So get ready for some interesting, stimulating conversation. We're going to talk about freedom and bondage and how to one person achieved freedom through bondage. And my guest tonight is Stephen Speliotis, erotic bondage photographer, rope bondage master, the creator of Asia Bondage, which is a fantastic book. And we're going to talk about how this naughty nodder took his obsessions and combined it with his profession. So, Master Speliotis, konnichiwa.
Konbanwa, Stephen. Nice to be here, Stephen.
It's great to have you, and it's great to be able to have this conversation.
Absolutely.
So, freedom, bondage, and let's just set the stage for people. You are, as I said, an erotic bondage photographer, but you are also in a traditional photographer. Bondage is not your only subject. You
right.
are a traditional, professional, commercial photographer.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And you also specialize in, I believe, headshots is one of your specialty as well?
Mm-hmm. Love doing headshots, working with performing artists.
Now, you also have a background as a performer as well.
Well, I have studied dance and yoga and some performing arts, and once I got into the rope bondage, people started wanting to see me perform or do demonstrations. So yeah, I started. Bondage has led me to a little bit of performing arts in that regard as well. Yeah,
but it wasn't in your student days that you were that you had a mentor, that you were an apprentice.
Well, I wouldn't really necessarily say I mean, I studied dance and movement and have some performance experiences,
mm-hmm.
but I wouldn't really necessarily say I was a performer.
I
did these things to hone my skills and develop my aesthetics and my physicality. And I think through studying dance or music, we all cultivate our eyes and our skills and our senses and our sensibility. And I think that's sort of the thing that I brought to my all of my projects, is that I have a dancer's or a choreographer's eye and sensibility.
Mm. Well, I have to say, it's having seen your work, it's an incredible eye.
Oh, thank you, Stephen. Appreciate it.
You do have a website as well.
I do. www.speliotis.com.
And people can see examples of your work there.
That's right. From the book Asia Bondage, but also from my previous dance and portrait series that I also work on. And I'm working on a couple other sites that will show a little bit more commercial work, but that would be Speliotis Photo. So hopefully by within the next couple of days, that'll be up as well.
That's great. And you also recently made a short film that people got noticed about.
Yeah, thanks for mentioning that. My eye started because I've been involved with a little bit of fetish film or fetish world, I had this vision, and I wanted to do something a little bit more than just shooting stills. I made a little movie with a friend of mine. Actually, there were just four of us involved. And the movie was a simple thing, and I just wanted to portray in black and white, in a moving image, a girl getting dressed in her fetish wear. And the film is called A Dog's Tale, and you can see that on YouTube. There's a clip of it on YouTube. A Dog's Tale, we submitted it into Cinekink last year, 2008, and it got accepted into that. And we were really proud of that because it opened the show and it closed the show. And it was only one of two films that were shown twice in the festival. And so we that was really nice, and we didn't really think too much about it. But then we got invited into a German fetish film festival in Kiel, Germany. And I'm not there, so I wasn't thinking too much about it. So we sent off the film. And then the day after the film festival, the director contacted me and said, some people thought it was really nicely done, and it was very, erotic, nice erotic element, nice film. And then the day after that, he wrote back and said that we won Best Short Film in Germany. And I thought, wow, this is really great. So as a photographer, filmmaker, I just felt like, wow, this is really, I guess, a testament to that I'm moving in the right direction artistically.
I would definitely say so, because I've seen now several different versions of the film, and it's a really good film. It shows a command of you of the medium and of what you're doing. You obviously had a vision. You were able to successfully portray it and capture it. I think it's a really beautiful film. And it's what's interesting also about it is where it's shot or where it was shot.
Yeah, and well, I'll tell you, Stephen, we shot it in 2 days. The first day I was shooting, I was on camera. Mm-hmm. The second day, we needed someone to step in with a girl, and I was filming and directing, but I had sort of the connection with the girl. There was more of we were just more connected than my friend. So I ended up acting in it. So I guess I am a performer.
Yeah.
So, someone had to be with her, so it ended up being me. And
that must have been difficult for you to do.
Oh, yeah, tough. Really tough.
Tough job, right?
You'll have to go. Yeah, tough job. Someone has to do it. And the location was this grungy old garage that I call my gallery. I also have an art gallery in the Meatpacking District, and we have access to this old 100-year-old parking garage. And we picked a grungy, greasy corner with old tires and pipes and mufflers and just all this stuff, grease-laden corner, and that's where we did it. So it was sort of the contrast of this garage to a beautiful girl getting dressed.
I like the opening of the film because it shows you outside. And it kind of reminds me of a typical summer day at the Body Art Guy Gallery.
yeah, absolutely. And, like the Wizard of Oz, we started it off in color. And as soon as she stepped in the garage, it all went to black and white as well.
Yeah.
It looks like a typical summer day. The girl shows up in jeans and a little T-shirt and her sandals. And then she walks into the garage and she meets her little servant dog. And he's holding her panties and stockings. And when she walks up to him, she removes her street clothes and transforms into this beautiful goddess, dominatrix.
And that's quite an interesting location. You're right across the street from a very well-known hotel. It's a fabulous location.
Should we name names?
That's entirely up to you if you want to.
Yeah. Yeah, we are located on 9th Avenue across from the Gansford Hotel, and it's a small gallery, but we've been there. I inherited the gallery 6 years ago, so we're going on like 19 years, which is really unusual these days, since the Meatpacking District is a very trendy, upscale destination these days.
Yes.
So we're really lucky to have such space.
There's so many, and it's actually, historically, I wouldn't quite say it around the corner from you, but one could say that. That used to be the location of the infamous Hellfire Club.
That's right. That's right. And around the corner, there was Mother's. So in the day, that was, you know, everything was pushed over to the west side and out of the way. So, you know, the nightlife wouldn't bother anybody. But, Stephen, you know, I'm actually, we'll talk a little bit about bondage. You know, my background is mostly that of a photographer.
Yes.
And I started really getting into this as a human being, you know, as working through some emotional things. And
yes.
I felt like I was backed into a corner of my own doing, actually. And I wanted to portray that in my photographs. And that's when I found rope was that element that became the metaphor for me in my photographs that portrayed that we are all in some kind of bondage. And so I wanted to portray bondage, but more, for me, it was more of a psychological bondage, not that, hey, I'm into bondage and I want to tie up, you know, my subjects. It was more,
right.
I'm in bondage and I want to put that in my photographs to look at that and explore that aspect of myself. So that's really how I started in this. And,
You were seeking to resolve your own situation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, and I think that's the way people explore their lives, you know, and how we all seem to get into this. And as adults, we, if it's done in a healthy way, we find ourselves releasing, going back to our past and investigating our lives and finding out what it is that makes us who we are.
Right, so you would think that people who do bondage or other forms of fetish, including S&M, do you think that, I would say all of them, but would you say a great many of them are like working through something or just, you know, they found something that works for them?
You know, I'd like to say it's actually both, Stephen. It's hard to say one or the other.
Right.
And I think it's as individual as the individual. People come to different, you know, a BDSM lifestyle or whether they're just dabbling in it to excite their sex life or maybe they read an article in, you know, Elle magazine or, you know, or maybe they saw something on the internet or they saw my movie or something. And but, you know, it's becoming more mainstream. So people are getting into it maybe because it's fascinating, it's exciting, or maybe people are just turned off by it because they're afraid of it. And don't understand it, but I think it's really an individual thing. I don't think we can really say that, but in my personal experience, I would say that people come to this with various backgrounds, and this just seems to fit. You know, it seems to be a way that they can express themselves in a very creative way.
And I've been to several different events, most of them at a club called Paddles in New York City. We have been there together and also separately. I have to say, and I've said this before when we did our first interview, which was a cable television broadcast, I found some of the really nicest people, very friendly, very helpful in acquiring information and dispensing knowledge within that bondage fetish community. It is not what you see portrayed in the media, at least as it has been previously portrayed in the media. I believe that it's starting to shift now, it's starting to change now. And I think it's mostly, and that's mostly because of the internet, groups like FetLife and other sites, which are, you know, drawing back the curtain and showing a different aspect of it,
mm-hmm.
which I think is very positive. And you know, I think we all have different impulses, different desires, fantasies, and sometimes we want to bring them into reality and actually experience it. Sometimes we simply just want to look. And so we just want to know that, hey, you know what? It's okay that I want to try this, or it's okay that I want to look at this.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't make me a bad person or an abnormal person.
Yeah. And, you know, and depending on the scene, I mean, there are some things that may appear to look like abuse, or someone's being struck or being flogged or paddled. Some of our point of references are when someone's striking another person. It could be violent or a violation. But we also have to remember that these two people, especially in a club like this, they have negotiated, they have agreed upon this. And so sometimes you have to suspend your own judgment that this is violent. From the outside, it may appear to be that way, but what's happening within that scene is perfectly fine. These two people, or three people or more, are usually in full agreement.
Right. I believe the watchword is safe, sane, consensual.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And quite amazing. And I have to say, personally, my own personal experience, I was one night on stage at Paddles very briefly, and I was spanked, and I found that it was a tantric spanking, so I'll qualify it as that. I felt that it put me in my body, that I was not
awesome.
just outside the body, which, as I've said before, Stephen and I are friends and we know each other. He's seen me, and he knows that sometimes I can get a little spaced out, just my sort of my, normal self. But this, put me into the body, and it felt good. I don't know if I would do it again. Probably, if it was with the right person, I probably would. But it was an experience that created sensation and created being in the body. And I think a lot of us are not in the body. We're just walking around, but we're not here present.
Mm-hmm.
We're not grounded.
Absolutely.
And this was a very grounding experience.
Stephen, and what you experienced was very typical of what people do normally experience. I think the most common fetish or, you know, thing that people see as BDSM, we'll just term it as that, as a catchphrase, is, I think, the number one thing that you hear most often on television or references is spanking.
Yes.
You know, and it's made as a joke. It's made as a flirtation. It's delivered in many, many ways, but it's so mainstream now that it's the erotic spanking is actually very mainstream, and more people love spanking.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And we can look at it that from our childhood too. You know, I mean, if you want to get into the whole psychology of this, is look, when we get spanked, we're usually out of hand and we're running around crazy, or we just did something naughty and our parents give us a little spank or a good spank, and it puts us, like you said, it puts us back into our bodies. It oftentimes brings a child back. It grounds the child just to, you know, just put him, get him straightened out, get back into your body, obey, and nothing wrong with that.
Yes.
There's also the erotic spanking that you may have experienced is when you do it properly, or when a spanking is done in a slow, methodical manner where you're tapping someone's buttocks in a combination of massaging and tapping, and you're gradually building up your taps till they're a little firmer, what happens is the endorphins kick in. And when this happens, there's a rush of, there's a high. The body gets actually high and suspended.
Yeah.
And it becomes erotic. And also those taps onto your, you know, onto your buttocks vibrate into your pelvic. So oftentimes people can actually have orgasm through this repeated vibration in the pelvic, and or at least get wet and horny. And it's really quite delicious when done properly.
Oh, yes, yes. So I remember one time with a lady friend, and we were, let's say, playing around, and we were ready to go to the next level, and I just said spontaneously, I said, "Spank me." And and she kind of gave me kind of a look. I said, "You want to get laid tonight?" And she gave me this whack on my ass, and man, that gave me a hard on like that was, like I could crack rocks with.
You know, thank you for sharing.
Wow. Yes. Well, this is the adult channel, so we are uncensored and unedited here. And I figured I'd just throw my 2 cents in there.
That's great. That's great.
And, it was, you know,
it
really, it took, it takes you out of the mind, puts you into the body, releases all these things, you know, and it's just like, wow, just like that. And
yeah.
In my experience, highly recommended.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Sounds it. And I do too. And, you know, and if people don't know what to do, there's lots of tutorials, or you could go to places like Paddles or Tess Organization here in New York, if you're in New York, or there's lots of local groups where people can go and actually learn. And there's lots of demonstrations. People in this lifestyle are very, like you had mentioned earlier, are quick to teach and mentor. You know, and there's lots of ways to learn and get introduced to a few of these activities if you want to.
And I believe there are several national organizations. Also, there are also several festivals that take place, which are not too far from where we are, which is the metropolitan New York area. And I'll give a shout out to one, the infamous Dark Odyssey, which happens now, I believe, two times a year now.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's also there's also Sexy Spirits, and there's also like people like myself who teach.
Yes.
And you know, so yeah, lots of people. If you wanted to,
and that's true.
Others.
Also, you do offer instruction.
I do.
And I believe
I
you have both private group instruction. You do have different workshops, and we've also featured you at Sexy Spirits. That we do have had you do demonstrations there. I've had you do some rope work.
Mm-hmm.
You've come quite a few times to some of the private parties, and you've done rope work. And you have a interesting, I think, which would be quite interesting to most people. You have something that you call a toy bag.
Toy bags. Usually people in, you know, collect, I call myself more of a sensual top.
Yes.
Where, I use ropes, and once the ropes are on the body, you know, there are other sensations that you may want to, that I like to, give to the person I'm tying up. And those sensations can range from soft and mild to maybe a little bit more painful or uncomfortable, depending on what's negotiated beforehand. And some of the things in my toy bag, Stephen, one thing that I like is a vibrator. Once the ropes are placed firmly on the body and pressing against the right pressure points. I like to vibrate the ropes because it makes the ropes vibrate on the whole body, and the whole body is vibrating, and it feels delicious. Other things that I might have in my bag might be candles for dripping hot wax, bunny fur for soft and, you know, fluffy, feathers, let's see, nipple clamps, nipple suckers, lots of things, man. Just whatever you can find, paddles, soft hands, gloves, kitchen utensils, anything.
So you have overcome the typical male, let's say, like some, let's say a typical male would probably say, what do you need that for? What's that for? But you have overcome that and seen that toys are very exciting and helpful and to be used.
Absolutely. I mean, anything could be a toy, you know, if you look at it and in a way that, if it's moving against the skin, whether it's a cold surface, a chain, or something that's warm, a soft silk scarf, anything could add to a sensual experience. And if you have someone that's open to this, then it's endless. You know, it's endless. And I like to give. There are givers and takers. I'm much more of a giver of pleasure. And so it gives me pleasure to give pleasure. And that's sort of what's in my toy bag.
Yes, everything that you do, I would say you truly are a sensualist. You are evolving in sensual exploration, sensual pleasure. And that's why, you know, calling it a toy bag, they're toys. It's for fun. It's for enjoyment.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And people should see it that way.
Well, who doesn't?
Well, I would just say, you know, to let's say that typical mentality that we've both sort of overcome out of. But you know, it's for toys, and you know, it's great fun.
Absolutely. Well, you know, Stephen, it's actually because of yourself and my other friends. This is actually quite normal in my circle of friends. You know,
yes.
In fact, when my buddies and I were starting to, you know, explore these things, or we'd go to a demonstration, we were all, like, competing, like, who had the coolest toys, you know? And it's like, oh, yeah, I got this, or, hey, let's go to Home Depot and find something really crazy, you know? And So we'd all call each other up and say, "Hey, I got this," or "I got that," and "Hey, check this out." And
Home Depot appreciates that endorsement.
absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So does the ostrich who gave you feathers.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, they should appreciate. You know, in this economy, they can use all the help they can get.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's quite. When you get into it, you know, it's really all about exploring the senses and feeling. And so much of what we have is just preconceived notions, preconceived programming that stops us from fully living and fully experiencing and these thought forms, these programs that are, you know, that really do not serve the individual and probably do not serve the collective of humanity in its totality. It's really just a thing to control, but it's going beyond that.
Absolutely. And I agree with you, Stephen. And I know, you know, bondage is often misunderstood in our culture you know, we're limited by so many beliefs, and we're taught what to believe, what not to do, and, you know, so we're restricted right from the day that we're born, and, you know, and a lot of it is for our own good, of course, you know, like people that love us want to protect us, and people who want to educate us, but, you know, we're not there's not a lot of critical thinking that goes on. We're really pretty programmed as to how we should feel and think and act, you know, socially and even in our bedrooms, you know, we're sort of dictated to like what that needs to look like. And but you know, if that's not satisfying, then I think we go on a journey to explore these things, and that's sort of what happened for me. You know, I started exploring and meeting people who came into my lives and interviewing and photographing people and becoming a little bit more curious, and step by step I started walking in. Well, I would say I'm walking more along the fence, you know, where I can step into that world and enjoy it and play there, but I also function on the other side of the world. It's not one or the other, you know, like doctors and lawyers and politicians. A lot of people take part into some sort of BDSM.
Mm. I also want to say to people, when they come to the BBS Radio website and they click on this show, they'll come to my part of it, and they'll see a photo of me against the chain link fence. And I want to acknowledge here and now the artistry of Stephen Speliotis, who took that photo.
Thank you, Stephen.
And that was a very interesting day. I think it was last year, late summer.
Mm-hmm.
And you just said, we were at the archive, and you just impulsively grabbed your camera and said, let's go for a walk. And let's do some shooting.
Mm-hmm.
And we went down the West Side Highway and eventually up to the Chelsea Piers.
Yeah, the light was so beautiful that day. I was really stimulated by the light. And you just happened to be my willing victim. Hey, stand, and I kept saying, Stephen, stand in this light. Stand here. You know, and like I was all excited about the light and how it was falling on all the different textures but reflecting off of the Hudson River. It was just a beautiful day. You know, and we've done that before. It's just...
Yes.
You know, we're just hanging out, and the light set. It's sunset, and the light is just so beautiful. But yeah, that day I was pretty excited. So you lucked out. You were in the right place at the right time.
I was, because really that I've gotten so much commentary on that photo, and like I always say, kiddingly now, oh yeah, now I got to live up to that photo. That's become the new. That is. Let us say that's the new me waiting to emerge. And I've seen a future of myself.
It is you. You're there, Stephen.
Absolutely.
You are.
Thank you. Thank
there,
you.
Man.
And you captured it brilliantly. And
thank you.
That's a wonderful example of Master Speliotis' photography, his artistic ability. And he, too, can capture that for you.
Thank you. Yeah. I've been photographing couples and individuals for many years, and it's always an honor when someone, you know, loves my work and wants me to capture, you know, their themselves at this point in their lives and welcome me into their world. That's really such an honor as a photographer, and I think that's like everyone has a story, and everyone has some intimacy that when they're safe and secure and willing to share that, it can be a really nice, a lot of nice creativity can come from that and also get some beautiful images. So I love that as part of being a photographer. It's really an honor.
So what are some of the things that you are doing now that you're currently exploring?
Well, I've been shooting some video and editing, and that's been a lot of fun. So I've been working on a few, you know, little short films for Cinekink, like next year, which is really quite fun. I've also been shooting some music videos. And I've also, when I was featured on Playboy Television, they came to me because I was working, well, I had my book Asia Bondage published, but they asked me what else was I working on, and at the time I had started a project called High Tide. And High Tide is is a series of photographs that I'm doing of bondage underwater. And I came across the project the other day, and I decided that I would resurrect this project and work on my project of doing bondage underwater. So that's something else that I'll be working on again this summer.
Is any of that available to view now?
Yes. Well, not online. I haven't put it up online yet. I pulled a few shots the other day, and I was sending it out to some friends and just getting some feedback and kind of getting my feelers out. And people were saying, oh, definitely get this going. And there was another pretty well-known established magazine that said if you have enough of this, they would definitely publish it.
That's really great. And also, now, which episode you were on the show called Sexcetera?
Mm-hmm. Playboy TV.
Number 45.
Yeah.
So, and you were also associated with another group at the time that you've done some work for. It's called Red Light TV.
Yeah, and we brought in Dragon Lily also, who was my model for that. Red Light TV was an online website that did some fabulous, like really high-end production, erotica. And they actually featured me working with Dragon Lily. And the whole idea was Dragon Lily found my book. She was very stimulated by it. She masturbated to it and masturbated to the photographs, and her fantasy was she wanted to be one of the girls in the photos. So her fantasy, they made her fantasy come alive, and I came in and I gave her that photo session. I tied her up and photographed her and watched her in all her happiness.
It was quite really, I gotta say, really, really well done production. And
yeah.
Also, all the stuff that they do is really high quality.
Yeah, they do a really great job. I was really glad to connect with them, and I'm still working with them occasionally, and really glad to meet them, and glad we could work together like that. It was really great, great moment. And
You were involved with them, I think, of their productions, were you not?
A few. Yeah. I've worked with them in a variety of ways where I've been assistant to the director, I've been casting, location scout. I've done a lot of pre-production, production, and a little bit of post-production with them. So, it's like I do have film experience, so they brought me on in a variety of ways, as well as being the talent in front of the camera. So that's been pretty cool. It's been a nice association.
Yes. It, I think definitely was really,
yeah,
really great.
So, Stephen, you can see that I just wanted to emphasize this, where, bondage for me, after my book had come out, it meant a lot of things for me, and it opened a lot of doors. So, as an artist and a creative person, bondage isn't just one thing.
Yeah.
Because as a photographer, it's a creative element that I, bring into my photographs and make powerful photographs with. And, after having Asia Bondage published, it's meant international recognition. And as a photographer, that's been really, I guess, sort of like a wonderful achievement, in my life, where people throughout the world have recognized my work. And so having international recognition is really quite wonderful. And then as an individual, rope is one way that I can personally establish my dominance and my intimate relation. And it can bring about a lot of pleasure when I'm playing these roles or assuming the role of a dominant or the rope top. And now, even as an experienced rope artist and teacher, I'm now able to share my experiences as a teacher. And that is really, you know, like a full cycle. You know, like it's like this skill has really become part of me in many regards. And as you had also mentioned, you know, as a performer, when people want to see me perform, it's also brings out that performing artist in me. So rope bondage and photography have really opened up and opened up my world, but have incorporated a lot of my talents.
It's well, it gives you a lot of different things to explore, and quite profound.
Absolutely, and you know, yeah. Go ahead, Steve.
My
thoughts are just running now.
Well, we'll just have to tie you down a little bit now, won't we?
Go ahead, try.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. You really were able to really work through those situations, the situation you had been in originally that prompted you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess that was, you know, going back several years, and even today, I mean, I think just being a human, you know, I'm feeling like we still limit ourselves. I'm still find myself holding myself back. But I was in a long-term relationship, and I had a photography studio and doing business as usual. And then, and I just felt like even though I was living a life of my choosing, I still felt like I was limiting myself. And I felt like I was in bondage. And, yeah, that's really how this all got prompted. Now, Stephen, that's my journey. There are also, you were, you know, wonderfully mentioning that there is a submissive side to this. You know, there's the person doing the rope tying, the rigger, and or the top, and the person who allows themselves to get tied up. Or the submissive, and it's very different for both people, though they can be very in tune and go through, very similar experiences. You know, it's different for the submissive where they have trust in you, they've given themselves to you, and are going to render themselves helpless. And trusting you like a baby, you know, like they're allowing themselves to be in your hands, in your guard for the duration of your session.
Yes.
And that's a beautiful thing. You know, when's the last time somebody really nurtured you in your life and just said, you know what, I'm going to take care of all your needs for the next hour. And you could just like let go of all things in your world and just go on a mental vacation.
Well, that's a lot very similar to what I would call the orgasmic provider that we do with Sexy Spirits. It's for the woman to let go, to take, you know, just simply let herself go, allow the man to pleasure her, and not have to think, not have to be thinking about, oh, well, pretty soon I'm going to have to do him. No, it's just all for her.
Exactly. Now, we're talking about heterosexual here.
Yes.
But, you know, or we're talking male top, female bottom. It can also work in the reverse, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, or people who like to switch, or people who prefer to be submissive in this way. You know, it doesn't mean that you're gay or sissy or wussy. It just means that this is the way that it's nurturing you.
Yeah, it is. It's really confronting those particular beliefs and overcoming them, because it's really the belief system which has been so appropriately abbreviated BS, that's what's keeping you prisoner. That's what's keeping you truly in bondage. It's mental bondage.
Steven, what happened?
Yeah,
now
I
can.
Okay, yeah, I couldn't hear you.
Yeah, I couldn't hear you either. We got disconnected or something.
Oh, okay, well, we're back. So I guess we can just do a little patch then.
Yeah.
So it's really those belief systems which have been are so appropriately abbreviated as BS. That's what's really keeping you in bondage.
Yeah, I like that. I like the BS.
Yeah.
Belief systems. Absolutely. Yeah, and you know, and at some point in our life, we have to really kind of, after we've lived our lives the way we think we should, and we end up, you know, people start, our families start passing or disintegrating, and we realize all we really have is ourselves, and are we really happy? Then we always come back to ourselves. And if you're living a life of misery or unhappiness, you know, we try to break free of that and try to find what is our real happiness, you know?
Well, that's what I noticed a lot about the BDSM community, the fetish community. Mm-hmm. I would say it's almost like a family, a tribe.
You could say that, though, you know, within every tribe there's, you know, the cliques, you know, like there's, it could be, but, you know, you can't just group everyone as being one way, because you may find people that you don't necessarily like,
right.
Just because you might share a similar interest, you may not necessarily like them.
It is the belief systems, which is so appropriately abbreviated as BS, that's what's really keeping people in bondage and prisoner.
Well said, Stephen. Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, and it takes time to realize that, you know, and I think they say men hit a midlife crisis. I don't think it's a crisis at all. I think we're just coming to terms with, you know, that we've lived our lives as we thought we should or could, or and we just get to a point where we need to, we know that our life is half over, and are we going to live our life continue the way it is, or are we going to change and find greater happiness? And often that happiness is now trying to redefine ourselves. And I think that's really basically what I did, was I was living my life the way that I thought I should, and I was living a creative lifestyle, but I entrapped myself, and I take responsibility for that. And so my belief system certainly led me into a corner that I had to get myself out of.
Yes, I would say that having been, we have discussed this before, and but I would say I would call it almost a shamanic experience, and I see that a lot as, you know, it's male midlife. So I would say it is the belief system, which is so appropriately abbreviated BS, that's what's keeping people prisoners.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that, but also the male midlife crisis.
Mm-hmm.
Which is often, I think, trivially in our culture, is kind of like, oh, he's just going through a male midlife crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, that's why he has that new car, or that's why he left his wife and got that hot new chick. But I think it's more than that. I think it's a man looking at his life and reaching a certain point and saying, you know, is this it? Is this all I'm going to have? Is this all I'm going to be?
Yeah.
And deciding, no, I don't want this. And if it means breaking a contract, breaking a bond, maybe that contract needs to be broken. That bond needs to be broken. That program needs to be broken.
Mm-hmm.
For the person to be free.
That's true. And sometimes that hurts, you know. Sometimes that means a deep cut, you know. And we don't like to hurt the people in our lives that we love, but it's just that's something that sometimes the choice people have to make, because more damage is often done just by staying as you are, and so you know it's difficult. Choices sometimes people make, but in the long run, everyone will be happier. I'm sure of that.
Yes, I mean the old saying was, "Oh, they stayed together for the sake of the children." But
right.
You know, by doing that, what did you really teach those children?
Right.
You didn't. That it would have been far better a good, clean break, done with respect.
Mm-hmm.
And people going on to live their lives instead of trying to live a life of a lie. And
mm-hmm.
then having that eventually blow up in your face, being compounded
right.
by more lies.
Right.
And, again, that's what I find really positive, affirmative about the BDSM community is the emphasis on communication
mm-hmm.
and the integrity that you have to do, not only within the BDSM fetish community, but also within the polyamory community, the
mm-hmm.
tantric community, if you want to call it the expanded orgasm providers community, is that
mm-hmm.
you have to show who you really are.
Yeah.
You can't hide. You can't hide behind a pretense, but it's not going to work.
Yeah.
And there's really no need for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're in these organizations, if you're in this community, people know why you're here, what you're doing, and there's no need to pretend.
Yeah, well, that's getting over all those fears, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like all those fears that we hold on to, and fear really holds us back. We tighten up when we're afraid, and you know, it's we're afraid what other people will be thinking of us.
Yeah, those fears, those programs, they can be tighter than any knot that you, as the naughty knotter, can tie.
That's right. Don't forget it. That's right. And Stephen, I want to hear also. There was something else that we wanted to talk about, I think.
Yeah.
Do we talk about the emotional and physical aspects of these things? Or
I believe we did.
Yeah? Okay. Okay. I just wanted to make sure that we covered all our bases here before, you know, I think our time's coming up to a close, right?
So that's correct.
Just wanted to make sure, like, we covered all our topics here and... you know,
I think we did. I think we gave a nice, good presentation of that in the midst of technical difficulties.
Yeah, right. Okay.
we managed to make it come through, which is good. It's that's part of the experience as well, is being able to operate under different circumstances.
That's right. We're going with the flow.
Absolutely. Well, I'd like you to, once again, I want to give a very great thank you to Stephen Speliotis for his time here, for his effort, and also, once again, so that everybody can hear, a nice thank you for that photo on my main page.
You're welcome, Stephen. My pleasure always to be with you.
And if you want just to give your contact information, how people can reach you and your website.
Sure. Well, it's, of course, www.speliotis.com. And my email is speleotisphoto, P-H-O-T-O, at Yahoo. And that's probably the best way to reach me. And so I, you know, am available for people want to talk about lifestyle. They want to hire me to do photographs or filming or shoot a music video, shoot them in a private situation. That's the kind of thing that I feel like I was born to do. So thank you for supporting this aspect of me, Stephen. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you for being here. And to say it in a not corny way, thank you for being a friend.
Pleasure.
Well, and also I want to say thank you to our listeners out there for listening to us. And we will return next week at the same time with a new special guest here on the brand new adult channel on bbsradio.com. This is Stephen Otero speaking for Mondo Eros.